Today is Sunday, April 26th, 2015, and this...
$285. I mean, we could have had a wonderful weekend in Vegas. But instead, Walter decides to buy me a bed that gives me motion sickness.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 500.
Las Vegas, the honor! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. Happy show 500.
You too.
We made it.
I feel like we should be having Bloody Marys or mimosas or something.
I know. We should be doing something special and we're not. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint anybody who hasn't paid attention to our alerts to lower your expectations over the last several weeks. I feel like we should have something special. Here, this is special.
I am Siegfried.
I knew that was coming.
And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season. And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
That's festive any time of year. Any special occasion, I like to roll that one out.
Yeah, you do.
So, so I'm happy to do so. All right, so this week we are going to get caught up on a multitude of Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We've got a few phone calls, people sharing their 500 show thoughts. And that's going to about do it. So we're pre-recording this one because we're... indisposed.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in Vegas for anybody who's wondering, but
it would be nice. But
it's not to be.
Yeah.
Thanks to listener Bob for that opening clip. He sent that to me a long time ago. I finally got around to using it.
Aww.
I appreciate that.
This is a listener supported show today. The listeners did all the work.
Content driven. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of your questions and stuff.
Yes.
Finally getting around. Some of these questions are from before VIMF.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had some of these for a while. So we're getting all caught up on those. Hey, Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic, VIMF itself. This year's event is happening on October 16th through the 18th. And even though we're pre-recording this, I know what the announcement is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we can share it now.
Yay.
As you're listening to this, the announcement is in the past, Wednesday. This whole time
continuum thing sucks. We're time traveling.
That's
the special thing about show number 500. So we're time traveling.
It's true. So yes, our live event in October. The location was announced on Wednesday. We're very excited to be part of it, and we're very excited that we are once again returning to the D Las Vegas for the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic.
Hooray!
We have had such a great time there the last couple of years that it makes sense to return again.
Keep a good thing going.
Exactly. We've had a couple other locations. I know the year that we didn't participate was at Planet Hollywood. Then we were at Bally's for 1 year. But ever since then, we moved down to the D, and we've been treated like kings and queens, not just us, but our listeners. And it's been a fantastic time, and anybody who's been there knows that it's a perfect location for us. It's got a great showroom, all kinds of cool stuff going on. And as we've said in past years, Derek kind of turns over the keys to the kingdom to us clowns for a weekend and lets
orders
us run
extra
wild.
Fireball.
Yeah, good things happen. So we're going to be returning to the D, and it's going to be a great time, and we appreciate them hosting this event. And many more announcements to come over the next few months. But if you're looking for, if you're trying to figure out where to stay, now you know where it is. So stay downtown and support our hosts at the D and at the Golden Gate. And that's what we'd recommend. Book your flights. We want to see you there. It's going to be fun. I'm so excited.
Yay.
Okay, so with that... we have a bonanza of letters from our listeners, and we always kick that segment off with this.
Got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read. Send your note and desires. Means of contact, P.O. Box 8941.
Baby.
Write you a letter tomorrow. Tonight.
Okay, we have our questions are wide-ranging in their subject matter.
This is good. Variety's good.
Yeah. Let's start off to get us warmed up, let's start off with some lightning round questions, shall okay. we? These come in from Danny Zendejas. I think we heard from Danny last week, didn't we?
I think so.
All right.
Active participant on the Facebook group.
Absolutely.
And all around good dude.
Okay, here we go. Lightning round questions. Longer trip, smaller budget, or shorter trip, bigger budget? Tough one.
That's tough.
I'm going to go longer trip, smaller budget.
I was going to go with that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I can keep myself occupied even on a smaller budget.
Mm-hmm. We have our ways.
Similarly, more trips, smaller budget, or less trips, bigger budget? I'm going more trips, smaller budget.
Yep, I was going to go with that too.
I'll go with frequency over.
Trips are the thing that get me through the year.
Yes. Forced to see a concert, Mariah or J-Lo?
Mariah.
Mariah, absolutely. Personal Vegas superstition or behavior? I don't really have any, I don't think.
I try not to get 50s.
I don't even buy into that.
I mean, if I have one on hand, I'm happy to take it. But like when I'm at the bank asking for them, I don't ask for 50s.
Neither of us are all that superstitious.
I would say it's more routines than superstitions.
Like you waiting until an hour before the flight to pack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me mocking you for it and being kind of semi-annoyed. Mm-hmm. Even better with your packing is during the lead up to your packing where you're doing other things, acting like they need to be done to distract yourself from actually packing.
Today I will clean the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, not really. Not really any superstitions. We usually go out for dinner the night to our place that we go there all the time. But
favorite pub.
Yeah, we usually go there the night before a trip.
Yep.
Okay, best people watching spot. Oh, best people watching spot.
Well, there was a call last week about Cromwell being... Because it used to be...
Mon Ami is really good.
Mon Ami is great, yeah. I want to try the Cromwell when the pool people are done, or maybe an early morning thing when Dre's After Hours gets out, because that used to be prime.
Yeah. It's not often that we like, let's go watch people, but it's more like, hey, it's more based on like something else you're going to do and that there happens. I would say another
chandelier
good one,
level 3.
That's what I was going to say.
Or level 2, is it? Whatever the top level is. Because there's 1, 1.5, and 2.
Yeah, the nightclub.
Cosplay night.
That one day we were sitting there, and there are all these people in like character costumes.
Yeah.
And not like the shitty ones on the strip. These were like anime
cosplay
kind of thing.
It was
crazy. So
that was fun.
That is a good one. Okay, and more of a discussion piece than a lightning round. If they removed your favorite game from Vegas, say no more video poker, would you stop going? Or... what would be the one thing that is your deal breaker from Vegas vacations? You know, there was a time where I would say yes, but gambling, even though I still do quite a bit of it, it's kind of become less important in terms of the overall Vegas experience. I could even foresee, it would be tough, but I think I could get through like a long weekend in Vegas without gambling.
Could you?
I think I could. You don't think I could?
You get twitchy. You get very, very twitchy.
I think I probably could. It would be very different. I would change the way that I would.
Well, you don't gamble as much during VIM.
I wouldn't be up in the morning as early, like, because that's usually what I do in the morning. Mm-hmm. I would change the way, because our gambling usually takes place during the day.
Yeah.
Except for now that we're playing blackjack more. We tend to do that at night. Mm-hmm. But, so if I pissed away the entire morning by sleeping, and then... I could do it. The afternoon would be more like doing sightseeing-y kind of stuff. You think that's complete bullshit.
I think it's complete bullshit.
I could. I'm not saying I want to, but I think I could.
There'd have to be something. There would have to be another reward in its place, right?
Well, the nighttime carousing and drinking and hanging out with people, that's always fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily experience this. I'm just saying I think I could. So, I don't.
Well, you've been there when you've had to work, therefore not gambling
for several days. That's true. Yeah,
you've done it.
Yeah, but that's always the light at the end of the tunnel is that I'm going to just go on a freaking gambling spree as soon as I'm done. So we'll see. What would the deal breaker be? What would stop us from going back to Vegas?
No more booze.
They have booze. Well, they have gambling everywhere too. So
yeah.
I don't know. The thing about Vegas. So this study came out that a really low percentage of people go to Vegas the first time for gambling. And people are like, I don't believe that. Well, I do believe it. I don't think that people are going there specifically. I don't think that's the primary reason people go to Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's the whole thing. It's the whole package.
Yeah.
It's the environment.
It's the whole escape from reality.
Yeah.
I think that's why I don't like the casinos nearby here.
There's no escape. Yeah.
There's no escape from reality, and they're fucking depressing. So I think my deal breaker is if the atmosphere somehow became like that.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't, if it were not to be an escape anymore, that would be my deal breaker.
Yeah, and I don't know what it would take for it to not feel like an escape anymore, mm-hmm. but yeah, I guess that's the whole overarching reason we go there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you very much for your questions, Danny. Always appreciated. Next up, this is kind of an inside baseball question. This is about the show, preparation for the show. Tony is wondering.
I'll let you take this one.
Tony is wondering about the phone call segment each week and some specifics with that. So he's wondering how it all comes together. Specifically, do I just compile the calls in the order they come in? Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I'll just order, put them in that order. Other times I kind of move them around. And it also depends. Like sometimes the same person will call like six times in one night.
So I
try to split those up.
Sometimes there's a recurring theme or sometimes they'll just happen to go together really well. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be this random thing and you'll put those together.
Yep. Sometimes I'll bunch them together. But so he says, do you listen as they arrive or do you wait till the end of the week? Typically wait till the end of the week and just listen to them all at once as I'm doing show prep. So if you call on a Monday, there's a good chance I'm not going to hear it until every once in a while I'll have a call where someone is like, hey, it hasn't happened in a long time where somebody's like, call me back. Those were always weird. I never would. That would be really weird. But, if you call me on a Monday for some reason, I'm not going to hear it till Friday or Saturday, probably Saturday, sometimes even Sunday.
If you need an urgent answer, post it on the Facebook group and people will respond within hours, sometimes within minutes.
Let's see. So yeah, and then he's just wondering if we bunch them by theme or if it's or how that's done. It does vary. Sometimes it's completely random. Sometimes it's the same order they came in. Sometimes, like you said, if things are kind of similar topics, I will kind of bunch those together. And then finally, in a typical week, how many calls do you use or don't you use, and why not? It varies widely. There are some weeks where I use absolutely every call. Some weeks I will discard a few of them. I try to use as many of them as possible. And at one point I put together I can tell you the reasons that I don't use them.
Yeah.
They usually fall into a couple categories. Either the sound quality is completely shit, like they're breaking it, which happens fairly often because of cell phones. You lose a connection and it's just you can't understand it. It's all mumbly. So I don't use them if they're really, really bad. And then if they're really, really long, which really, really long varies kind of too, depending on what people are talking
about.
What
the content is, yeah.
If it's over 4 minutes, as soon as I see it's over like 4 minutes, it's iffy. It's already, before I even listen to it, if I see over 4 minutes, I'm like, well, this one is on the chopping block.
Mm-hmm. But then you'll listen to it, and if you hear things that intrigue you.
Yeah, like last week, Corey had a couple calls that were over 4 minutes. Both of them were over 4 minutes, but they were like
chock full of information.
Really good information, and the reason they were good information is he was giving information on things that other listeners can benefit from. So here are my tips for a good call, a few suggestions. And I think we did these a long time ago, but it's been quite a while. And they are on the website, by the way. If you go to the About page, there's a link to something about voicemails, and you can look at these. But skip talking about stuff like transportation. Nobody cares what flight number you are on, what time you left. Nobody cares about your cab ride unless it was freaking hijacked and, you know, some crazy ass story, but just
unless there was some unique element to
it. Yes. Getting long hauled is not it. So unless there's something like really, really crazy about your flight, you can probably skip talking about that. It doesn't benefit anybody. They're not going to be able to have a better trip by hearing about you having a normal flight and normal check-in at the hotel.
I mean, that's great that you did.
But we don't care. focus on details that benefit other listeners. So rather than talking about how much you won or lost or that you're having a great time gambling, you know what? That's great. Happy for you. But it doesn't help people have a better trip later on. So review a specific casino game that you really liked or you hated. Tell us why you loved a certain slot machine. Tell us why a certain restaurant was great. Not just that you liked it, but rather, hey, this was the best fucking spaghetti and meatballs I've ever had. And it's way better than this other place that I've been. Mm-hmm. That kind of information is super, super helpful. So we love those kind of calls. Don't tell us about the weather unless it's something crazy. Now, like last week, somebody mentioned
the dust storm.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. So, that's fine. And it was just a mention. You didn't go into all this tremendous detail. If it's hot, we don't care. Nobody cares. It's always hot. It's a fucking desert. Not always, but
a lot of the time.
Yeah. So it's not worth mentioning. It's not worth spending limited time on your call mentioning that it's 110 degrees. It's the desert. People expect that. Be really specific. Instead of just saying you like something or didn't, tell us why. Those are useful calls. To keep it as short as possible, like I said, if your call is over, on the website I say 6 minutes, but like I said, if it gets to be over 4 minutes, I start to get a little twitchy. Especially, the other thing is a lot of times the calls that are long, almost always someone will say, I'll keep this really short. And those are whenever somebody says at the beginning that it's going to be really short, it's never really short. if you have a lot to say, break it into multiple calls. People do that a lot, and I'd rather use like 3 or 4 short calls than one super long call. It's just easier to digest. Mm-hmm. Plus, it encourages us to talk about what you talked about in between. So that works out well. If you've already heard a bunch of calls where people are talking about how great something is or how bad something is, then maybe that's something you can skip and focus on something you don't hear about as much. For example, like everybody seems to love absinthe and everybody loves Pizza Rock. So calls on that aren't probably as likely to get on as somebody talking about a show that we don't hear about. Like last week we had one about Frank, the man, the myth, the legend, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck that Sinatra call is. I was thrilled to get that because we don't hear about that often.
Yep.
Or something new. Mm-hmm. When new stuff opens, I use a lot of those because I like to get a sense of the themes that people are, mm-hmm. you know, the way that people are experiencing or viewing something.
Yeah.
So when a new, like SLS or Downtown Grand or whatever, when something new opens, we're going to have a glut of calls about that for maybe months just because people are experiencing it for the first time. And by all means, if you experience something in a different way than we do, we love those too. Mm-hmm. People who love Grand Bazaar shops and think it's great, I'd love for you to call in and tell us why you think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And finally, don't feel obliged to call when drunk. We like drunk dials.
You can.
Yep, you can. You're welcome to.
They're entertaining.
We encourage them if you're up to such things. However,
don't feel like you have to.
The informative non-drunk calls are probably a little bit more valuable, but we like the entertaining drunk calls too. So, you know, either way is fine with us. So those are my call tips, and we'll help make sure that your call gets on the air. Concise, informative, entertaining if possible, but don't feel pressure to be entertaining. You don't have to. Sometimes people try to be funny, and those usually suck. There have been some that I don't use because people are trying to, like, do a... But some of the bits are funny. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. If you're legitimately funny, good luck. Good luck figuring that out.
Are you going to encourage people to talk in a funny voice?
I had one of those last week. That's a couple weeks ago. That's what I was talking about. Oh. And I didn't use it because...
It worked on Louis.
It was a little drawn out in the bit. As, like, a 20-second bit, it might have worked. Mm. But as a 2-minute bit, didn't work.
Okay.
So anyway, I hope that answers your questions. I hope that some people found that informative. Thanks for the question, Tony. All right, next up. Is our dog making sleeping noises? What
I
is
think
that
so.
I hear? Okay, this is a good question that
she's
I
She's back out here again. She was in another room and now she's back.
I'm gonna have a hard time. Next week we're gonna have a new podcast dog.
Yay.
I'm gonna have a hard time with this one, but I think you have. This one is old. It's from before Vimp. Jason is wondering, if you could acquire and revitalize a floundering but not completely failing casino resort on the Strip, think places like Flamingo, Harrah's, maybe Treasure Island or Bally's, on a reasonable but not extravagant budget, what would you do with it?
Okay. The first thing I thought of was not on the Strip, but downtown. But I think some of these things could also apply to a Strip casino.
Okay.
My first thought was Binion's.
Okay.
Because there's some stuff to work with there. You could take that pool and Binion's make it a really cool pool area. I mean, the view, it's a little bit removed. The view isn't the greatest thing because you're not right in the middle of the Strip action.
Yes.
But it's still a pretty decent view. So you could spiffy up the pool, make it a little loungy, improve the ambiance there.
Okay.
Improve the steakhouse. The steakhouse gets very mixed reviews.
Cool room. Service and quality, hit or miss.
Yeah, so improve the service, improve the quality.
Okay.
And take the bar up there and put in a really good cocktail program and make it a fun place to hang out.
Oh, at the steakhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Make the roof a destination.
Yeah. There you go.
And revamp the rooms.
Yeah, obviously the hotel needs to be completely, because it's closed.
Yeah.
Completely revamped.
And take some of that cheap-ass shit out of the back, that whole, like, the whole clothing thing.
Do you have an idea for the actual casino as far as, like, a concept or a theme or an adjustment on what they're doing? It seems like...
They have a really good selection of slots. We always end up playing slots there. I like that. I would keep that. I would improve their video poker. We don't really play video poker there.
True. I think the feel of the casino, they're close to it being kind of a cool, it, should they go all in with an Old West theme?
They could.
They're not that far from it, and it's like kind of, I don't know.
Put in some velvet and some fringe.
So with Binion's, when I walk through there, part of me, I expect to be more, to feel the history more.
Yeah.
And yet instead I just feel like, oh, this probably used to be really cool. Mm-hmm. But I don't, it doesn't quite hit the mark. Yeah. Okay.
What's going on with the cafe? Did they get rid of the cafe and they replaced it with the barbecue place? Or is the cafe, what's going on with that?
There's still a cafe that's separate. Okay. The thing that closed years ago when they closed the hotel was in the basement. There was a coffee shop. That's gone. But they still have the cafe, which they kind of walled in now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where they've got the really good Benny's Burger or whatever
it's
called.
Right.
And then they've got a little snack bar as well. But yeah, the cafe is supposed to be pretty decent.
Maybe put in another restaurant either in the basement or where that fucking t-shirt bullshit is.
Yeah. The barbecue place, actually, people who've tried the barbecue have said it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it's a limited menu, which is what
drove
us out.
Have they expanded their menu to include sandwiches and stuff?
I think they added brisket, somebody said, but I don't know. I wanted a good barbecued pulled pork, and they didn't have that, so.
Yeah. So the thing on the strip,
They added the cigar lounge back there, too, which people seem to like.
Yeah.
So on the strip...
Would it work to take some of the downtown stuff and apply it to the strip? Because the thing I always bitch about on the strip is... The odds. Like, the video poker isn't as good, but we still play it because there are other compensating qualities, like being in a cool atmosphere, getting premium cocktails, that sort of thing.
Right.
Like, we make trade-offs for the pay tables.
Right. As far as the, I'm trying to think which of the hotels or the types of hotels. I can't think of anything on the strip. Like, I don't know. I mean,
how would a low roller joint do on the strip? I mean, you've got Casino Royale.
Casino Royale is about it. But what and Circus, yeah. Lots of fun, that kind of stuff.
Can you do
I don't think you can,
atmosphere and a low roller joint at the same time?
A few years ago, there were still a few of them. I mean, that's what Barbary Coast was before it was acquired. I don't know. As far as like a complete revamping, which I think he's suggesting, and again, it's not really right on the strip. I would, oddly enough, because it's such a failing theme and it's going to happen eventually, I'd almost go Hooters and do something just freaking whacked out with it.
Yeah.
Like a sci-fi theme or a sports theme. It's just an
the original Hard Rock Hotel was. Like it was more boutique-y and maybe theming the rooms a little more.
Huh. So we've had the movie theme thing with Planet Hollywood. Mm-hmm. We've had the rock theme with the hard rock music theme. Is there any place for a television theme?
Yeah.
Would that
definitely
be a thing?
Definitely. You could go, yeah, for sure.
And not a specific television show, because that would be weird. I mean, there have been suggestions for like the Beverly Hillbillies thing. That would have been stupid. But an overarching like TV theme, and there might be a way to do it without it being too cheeseball.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you could because there are so many.
Stick with classic TV shows that people love.
Yeah. Like, or even like The Sopranos, something that's no longer on the air, but it had a very following.
You wouldn't do a Sopranos casino, but like
a room.
That would be a room. Yeah. So it'd be almost like a Planet Hollywood thing, but television shows instead of. Yeah. That could be something. Okay. I think we spent enough time on that one. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. That was a fun one to think about.
It's hard. It is hard. And I would probably a week from now have a completely different answer. I would be tempted to do something with Harrah's because it's such a
mediocre.
Yeah, it's such a mediocre property. There's nothing really that. I mean, some people like staying there and stuff, but it's not
a destination.
There aren't that many things about it that really draw you in.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving along.
The stuff that I like isn't necessarily what makes money. Like,
true.
For a pool, I would like a nice loungy pool. You have a little bit of music. You've got some good cocktail service. It's a very low key vibe where people are just hanging out, but pool parties make more money.
Yeah. Yeah, well, therein lies the rub. That's people, as a running theme lately has been the noise issue.
Yeah.
And clearly it annoys a large number of people who stay there, mm-hmm. because their hotel rooms are too loud, but the nightclubs are making money, so the operators don't care. Yeah. All right. So Dan writes in, this is something we've talked about in the past, but again, we have a lot of new listeners. How did we start going to Vegas? When did we take our first trip? Was it love at first neon sight? What made it click that this is the place for us? So our first trip was 97 when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Well, we knew what we were doing getting married.
Yeah, that's worked out so pretty well so far.
So far, so good.
So we had, I'm always walking on eggshells though. One of these times I'm waiting for you to be on to me.
How so?
You're going to figure out, like, what the... Oh, he's been fooling me all this time. He's... No, I think you've seen through me from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, 97, first trip. We stayed at Excalibur. It was not love at first neon sight, I wouldn't say.
Not.
We went back a year later for our anniversary. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to gamble.
We ended up seeing movies.
Yeah.
We got bored.
We did get kind of bored.
That's kind of sad, but we got bored.
It clicked for me when I went back the third time, and that was with my brothers and my dad for our first guy trip. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning, and you start drinking right away. And you just drink and gamble and have no cares about anything.
So then the trip that we took after that trip, that's when it clicked for me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, this is what this is about.
Yeah, we just did it completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And learned a little bit more about how to gamble and stuff like that, too, in between.
Yeah, that helped.
And then after that, it was just like we couldn't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
Clicked pretty quick after that. So that's the short and sweet.
When was the first guy trip? Was that 99?
Because
I think you guys went in the winter and then we
went. Yes, it would have been 99.
Yeah, because I think we ended up going a few times that year.
Is that the year we saw Duran Duran a couple times?
That was 2000.
Oh, that was 2000. Okay. Yeah. There was one year where we went, like, did we go like 2 months in a row?
Yeah. That was 2000.
Okay.
So we went in the spring, then we went like August, September, November.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
Without going into too much detail, because I know we've talked about it in the past. But, and then, you know, it just snowballs.
I think it's easier now because with the internet, you can research your options and get ideas from other people. Like, even if you're not into gambling, there might be a restaurant or an attraction. Well,
look at our fucking Facebook group. Yeah. It's all based on that. And previously, I mean, I sound like old man dressing here, but
you are old man dressing.
There's so little information where it was people sharing information. It was all based on like one person or one group.
Mm-hmm.
That was when Las Vegas Advisor was actually somewhat valuable as far as the newsletter.
Because of all the research.
You couldn't get a lot of the information easily elsewhere, and monthly was still fairly current.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, the internet makes it all much easier to plan and get information and all that stuff. So, all right, moving along. A question from John. And he asks, he said, you've answered often what is gone that you miss the most. I'm curious, what has closed that you were happiest to see go? I don't know that I'm ever that thrilled to see something closed. I mean, you have a couple examples.
I was not super attached to the boardwalk, and there's one thing that I can describe in two words that I'm very happy is gone.
Okay.
Giant clown.
Okay.
Glad not to walk by that.
But that was a fun little casino.
It was.
We did, you know, cheap limit. You were talking about whether or not a low roller place could work on the strip. Well, that was it. But the theming of it was problematic for you.
Yes, it was.
This creepy clown head.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wasn't sad to see the clown head go.
Okay.
And the other one that I was very happy to see go was Bills. Because of what it's become now and because of what it was before, I mourned Barbary Coast hardcore. I was very...
Right.
I mean, as we mentioned on the previous show, don't get too attached. That was my lesson in that.
Right.
But Bills, even though it was the same building, a lot of the same stuff was there.
The heart of the place kind of got ripped out.
Been ripped out.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind at all when that became something else. No, I really enjoy the Cromwell.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I was like really happy, like, oh, that's finally gone. I don't know. Even the things that I'm not into, I don't necessarily take great joy in them being gone.
Yeah.
So I would have a hard time coming up with anything that I was gleeful over seeing close. Maybe I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind. I have to think a little bit more about that, but I don't have any immediate answers. All right. Another speed round.
Okay. Yet I still miss the Victorian room a little bit.
There are things I certainly miss, of course, but
yeah.
Okay. Joe Crow has a bunch of speed round questions for us. Elvis 1969 or Rat Pack 1966?
Rat Pack 66.
The tough one, but yeah. Rat Pack's a little cooler. The MGM Grand Mansion or Aria Sky Suite? I'd say probably Mansion.
I'd say Mansion, yeah.
Guy Savoy or Joël Robuchon?
Robuchon.
We have such similar tastes in things. Flamingo 1947, Stardust 1978, or Sands 1967?
Sands 1967. Partly because I could drive down the strip and just see all the other really cool signs.
Oh, Stardust 78. I don't know.
You can say that. That's okay.
I'm just not convinced. I'm not convinced that's my true answer. Sands 67 is. Okay, so I'd probably go Sands 67 too. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
47, I don't know. Not enough going on yet. Okay, pick one cocktail from the early days.
The cars. Oh, my God. Just think of all the beautiful cars in
67. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Okay, one cocktail from the early days of Book and Stage to bring back.
Stunning Man.
No question, Stunning Man.
That was my lucky drink. I hit a royal flush.
That's the only one I can remember.
Yeah, well, that too. But that one was damn delicious.
Most of the drinks we had there in the early days weren't even on the menu. So dinner with Steve Wynn, Benny Binion, or Jay Sarno?
Bob Stupak.
I'd say Stupak if that was on the list.
I would say Jay Sarno.
I would say... I'd probably say Steve Wynn.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah.
It could be a very entertaining train wreck.
Yeah.
Just to hear the voice.
I want to hear him tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear him do impressions.
Yeah. Of Popeye?
Of anyone. All right, finally, pick one Las Vegas property to move to Minnesota. The bummer is you can't visit it in Vegas anymore.
Ooh.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. If I were to do that, I would pick the casino in Vegas that I don't like. I'd move Circus here.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Because I wouldn't go to it if it was here, and I don't
wouldn't
care.
Miss
I wouldn't
going
miss
it. To it in Vegas.
Yep.
All right.
So that's an easy one.
Okay.
I don't... If you brought any casino here, I wouldn't go... That it wouldn't no. So I get what you're trying to do with that question, but it's the opposite of what you thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a different answer?
No, I like your thinking behind that.
Okay. All right. Finally, a series of questions in multiple emails from our friend Kelly. Kelly is wondering, beyond those who mosey and PR buzzword bullshit, what are some current Sin City pet peeves? And have those changed over time?
Oh, our pet peeves have definitely changed over time, but...
Does anything annoy you less now than it once did? Okay.
But I'm trying to think of an example of that. Because there's stuff that has... Moseyers will perpetually annoy us.
It's anything that blocks my flow of traffic.
Anything that impedes me getting to my destination.
Yeah, exactly. So there are far more of the costume characters around now than there were.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, those annoy me because they're in my way.
Yes.
And anything that attracts...
The Moseyers harder to go around to.
Yeah, anything that attracts a crowd.
Yeah, like Photo Magic or Spin Art.
Photo Magic's not really a thing anymore.
No, but that used to piss you off. a lot.
Yeah, the spray paint guys.
Yeah. There's still a couple of those.
Yeah. The spray paint guys, I'm not a fan of. Any of the like break dancers, because usually people gather around them.
Yeah. Timeshare people will always annoy me.
Yeah, that's a perpetual one.
People who try to offer me shit and then get offended when I won't talk to them because I have other places to be. Fuck those people.
Well, that's why I don't mind the porn slappers, because
that's why I love the porn slappers.
You love them. The porn slappers, yes, they're offering you porn, which
but they're not trying to start a conversation with you, and they're not offended if you don't take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the nightclub hawkers and the timeshare people are much mm-hmm. more annoying than the porn slappers.
Yeah. This is my vacation. I did not pay to come here and hang out with you, the person who is trying to sell me something.
Yes.
That deeply bothers me. And it, as the trip goes on, my tolerance for it wears down a little bit. So by the end of the trip, I'm like yelling at people.
A variation on moseying is the people who stop in inopportune places, at the bottom of escalators.
Or the top of escalators.
Or just like they'll be walking and just stop. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of people behind them, mm-hmm. and they're oblivious to it.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Okay. I can't think of anything else on that one. She also was wondering, what is the most Vegas-y shit in our house?
Ooh.
We've got a lot of Vegas-y stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of it is in one specific room. So we've got our shot glass collection.
Yeah. Casino jackets.
Yeah, we do have some casino jackets, some of which have seen the light of day and some which have not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What else is in the room that's super Vegas-y? Oh. We've just got a lot of little
things, knickknacks really.
That we've picked up in different places. So there's not, like, we don't have a craps table or anything that's a huge, like, screaming Vegas, but everything in the office is kind of Vegas themed just about. And it's just a lot of little things, like little, we've got like the little Elvis figurine things. Mm-hmm. We got that little model of the strip from a few years ago.
Yeah.
I like the more personal items though. So I like the proclamation from when it was Vegas Internet Mafia Day from the mayor from a couple of years ago. Like that's the thing that I look at and like makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, anything from Vimp or Vegas Podcastapalooza. We've got a couple of posters from past events. So those are the things that kind of scream Vegas to me, even though it's more like about us. I have my big novelty check from Barbary Coast from 12 years ago or whenever that was.
Yeah, it was 12 years ago. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's pretty Vegas-y.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more questions from Kelly. What casino do you think plays the best music, live, canned, current, or historic? I have a hard time with this one because it's always a hit or miss. Like, I'll like a couple songs, then I won't like a couple songs. Right. I don't have one where I love everything they play.
Yeah. I would probably say Cosmopolitan because
it's a little more current.
Yeah. It's a little more current, and you'll hear stuff like you'll hear classic alternative stuff, although that includes the Smiths for you.
Yeah, I know. But I also hear songs that I'm like, holy shit, I haven't heard this in a long time. It's a weird mix of music.
Oh, this is a new song. I really like this. Yeah. I don't know what it is, and I want to find out more.
And it's different too. Yeah. Most of them are you're either going to hit like
you'll hear stuff at Cosmo you won't hear anywhere else.
No, and that's the thing. Like a lot of them, you're either going to hear your current top 40 pops,
your classic rock,
or your classic rock.
Planet Hollywood does a lot of the classic rock, and then they switch over abruptly, and it's all like pop.
Yeah.
And then Venetians is just all over the place.
Yeah.
Or at least it was. I haven't spent a lot of time in there recently, but
I'd probably go with Cosmo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, that doesn't affect me as much as it used to. Like I'd get annoyed with really bad music selections sometimes. And now it's just kind of background noise.
Yeah.
I'll mock it more than anything if there's something I don't like, but all right. What is the worst thing to adjust to when returning home from a trip? And she's wondering for me if it's changed since I became self-employed. And I appreciate you saying self-employed instead of unemployed, by the way. well, you go first. So when returning home, what's the hardest thing to adjust to? For me,
unless you have a vacation planned, just knowing that you're not going to go anywhere for a little while. And then just, like, having to get back into the routine and be motivated.
That's what it is for me. It's the routine. And even though my work situation has changed, that's still, it surprised me that that was still hard for me to get back into the routine and the motivation of getting stuff done. I was still kind of mentally checked out for a few days after recent trips. So that's the big one, is the routine. There's also now, the one thing that has changed for me is I don't have to deal with
coworkers asking you all the stuff
inane questions.
Yeah.
Did you see any shows? I don't have to deal with that anymore. So that's about it. Otherwise, it hasn't changed much. All right. Lots of good questions. Thank you all very much. I appreciate that. If you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions on any Vegas-y or podcast-y subject, feel free to send them to us at 500@gmail.com. We'll be happy to answer them on a future show. Sometimes they sit for a long, long time, but we'll get to them. And if you've sent me a Dear Tim and Michelle question and we have not yet responded to it, resend it, because that means I probably lost it, because I think we're pretty much caught up now. Okay, with that, let's talk about our friends at Viator.
Viator! Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So there's a lot of cool stuff in Vegas. We talk about it all the time. Some people like a little bit of nature as part of their Vegas trip. They like to get off the strip, get away from downtown, get out of the city, see something a little different. I get that. Vegas can overload you.
It's an overstimulating place.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, but sometimes you just want to get away from it. Viator can help you with that. They've got all kinds of tours to help you get away from Vegas for a little bit. Tours to the Grand Canyon, for example, by many means of transportation. Helicopter tours, they've got plane tours, different lengths of time. So if you don't want to spend, like, you know, an entire day, you can take a little bit shorter trip. They have tours that include Colorado River boat rides. They've got, like, full-on Western ranch experience where you're riding horses and stuff. So, you know, you're really getting it on with nature, so to speak. You can even have, like, meals in the Grand Canyon. Like, the helicopter will land in the Grand Canyon, and you'll have lunch, and then you'll take off again. Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff. Whitewater rafting, ATV adventures in the desert. You can take day trips to Death Valley, sunset horseback riding. Some of them include meals, some of them don't. All kinds of different things to meet your needs. Whatever you want to do, Viator can hook you up. So if you're going to Las Vegas, but you are worried that it's going to be too much overload and you want to get out of the city a little bit, Viator.com is the place to check out. They can make your vacation all kinds of nature-y awesome. Is that a term? Nature-y awesome?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. As always, thank you to Viator for supporting 500 by Midnight. We do appreciate it. If you are going to book something through Viator, please use the link at 500bymidnight.com. We get extra credit, and it tells you that their sponsorship is worth it. Thank you, Viator. We love you. All right, we've got a handful of phone calls from people who want to express their love for the 500 by Midnight on this epic occasion of our 500th show. All right, let's check in with Jason.
Hey, guys, this is Jason from Phoenix. This is a little different call, one for the 500th show. Been listening to you guys for a long time, and some of the highlights that I liked from shows from the past were when you guys took a tour through Paris and there was a Harlequin romance novel tour.
Ah, yes.
And you guys recorded live going through that.
We were very drunk that day.
Yeah, we had just come from the Diamond Lounge.
We were giggly and stupid, and we were amused by the Harlequin romance cover exhibit, which was in a broom closet at Paris. It was a weird little room, which I don't know, is it a gift shop or something now?
I think so.
Tiny little space, and they had all these covers on display, and, you know, Fabio shirtless. And
it's called, like, the heart of the woman or something. Oh, she'd be like that.
So bizarre. I remember it well, despite my state.
That was really funny. And when Tim did a ghost from Vegas past, I think it was going through Sahara for some reason. And my wife and I are about the same age as you guys. Over that same time period as you've been doing the shows, our relationship developed, and in our relationship, going to Vegas and listening to your podcast has been a big part of our lives. And we have kids now, so things have changed for us. But I still listen to your show, and I really just enjoy the entertainment value. And we don't even go to Vegas that much anymore. Love you guys. Thanks a lot for the memories. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's very nice. Yeah, the Vegas Ghost. I don't know if the Vegas Ghost will ever make another appearance on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it really. Can you bring that bit back?
I don't think
you can. I think I ran it into the ground. I don't know how many times the Vegas Ghost appeared on the show, but it wasn't that many, but they were memorable.
Mm-hmm.
The early days of podcasting, you'd do all kinds of stupid shit just to see what stuck. People remember it, though.
The early days? Like, we don't do that now?
10 years in, we're still doing stupid shit to see what sticks. Okay, thanks, Jason. We appreciate it. Glad you're still listening to the show. Next up.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. Congratulations on 500 episodes.
Thank you.
I would say my favorite part of the podcast is the education it provides me, hearing your tips and people's trip reports on the Facebook page and the call-ins, and just the overall discussions on the Facebook page have enlightened my Vegas experience. It's taught me, and I've learned what are some of the really nice places to go that I may not have thought of. In turn, that has allowed me to introduced my wife to Vegas. We went, we've gone twice now in the last year and a half. The first time we went, based on the great comments I heard, we stayed at the Aria, which I would have never thought of. We stayed there and then took a couple small tours and ate at some restaurants. She ended up being a little reluctant to go after going there. She had a blast, and that's why she went back again, and she's looking forward to going back a third time.
Awesome.
So thank you for all you do, and you keep up the good work. And remember, Tim, if Sid Hartman can be on the radio and write a column at 95, you should be able to do this for another 50 to 55 years.
So for anyone who's not in the Twin Cities, Sid Hartman is a sports writer, and he's 95 years old.
And if you think Tim is a cranky old man.
Oh, my God. There's a television show called The Sports Show that has four like sports writers or sports media people talking about the week's events, and he's one of them. And it's crazy.
Unintentionally hilarious.
As he's gotten older, it's become just insane because his hearing is gone, and he's doesn't listen to what anybody else says, and he doesn't know how to pronounce anybody's, much like me, he doesn't know how to pronounce anybody's names. And yeah, so okay, that's, I can go till I'm 95. That's, we'll see.
All right.
I don't think that's. All right. Moving along.
Hey, Tim, Michelle. This is Robin from Connecticut.
Hello.
Just wanted to let you know, congratulations on your 500th.
Show.
I know you're kind of playing it down, but I just want to let you know that some of us have started our own ventures simply by listening to you guys, and you continue to inspire me and my blog. And I got to thank you, man. So keep doing what you're doing. It's just great stuff. Whenever I bring people to Vegas, I tell them to listen to you first for a couple of months so that they can get some good ideas. And don't ever underestimate how important you are to many of us. And, oh, and by the way, yeah, it was a music teacher that bought the kazoos. It was me.
I knew it.
All right. So, I bought it for my middle school kids. We got a project going on. So, okay, but I love what you guys do, and you continue to really inspire me, and I can't wait to hear the next 500, man.
All right. Thanks so much, Robin.
Thank
you. We appreciate it. His blog covers the Northeast, the gambling in the Northeast part of the country, and I have a link to it on the show notes under Friends of 500. It's called Anytime. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. Anytime Gambling something. He does a great job with it, though, and check it out if you're in the Northeast part of the country, if you're wondering what's going on with the casinos up there. Do you have something?
Nope.
Oh, okay. A couple more calls. Check in with Pete.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's just Pete from New York. Just listening to the most recent podcast, and you guys are talking about the 500th show.
Here we are.
I thought maybe instead of going all crazy and doing anything, you guys said you wanted to kind of tone it down and just not really do anything special. But maybe just talk about stuff like, you know, what you miss about Vegas that was there and not there anymore, or what you like now that wasn't there that you really, really wish was there when you first started going, or things like that. Like, things that you thought about Vegas when you first started going or when you first started the podcast, and how you totally did a 180 and you like to, you know, like different things. Stuff like that. Maybe just kind of give listeners a different kind of feel as to, you know, where you came from 10 years ago, what your thoughts were when you started the show, and kind of how you morph into what you guys are doing now. So, love the show, guys, and I love to listen to it every week and look forward to it every week. Thanks. Great job.
All right. Thanks for the call. You. One thing that I was thinking about is I used to spend a lot more time before trips, and part of it was probably like a money issue, but used to do a lot more like coupon gathering and organizing and using and don't really do that so much anymore. Once in a while, I mean, we'll get like Groupons and stuff, but mm-hmm. we used to get the Las Vegas Advisor coupon book, and there was another place online where you could get a bunch of coupons for different things. And I know people always make fun of me for using the word coupon instead of coupon, but I'll remind you that it's not pronounced soup. It's pronounced soup. So fuck you. So I don't do as much of the couponing thing as I used to.
Carry on.
Is there any other thing you can think of where the way we do the trip has changed immensely over the past however many years?
Well, I think some of this is budget and just some of this is the way things have changed. But like one of the things we would do is, all right, got to go get a cheap drink at O'Shea's, or we will hang out at Imperial Palace for their 2-for-1s. And now it's more like, I mean, there's still a huge quantity, don't get me wrong, but like the quality of the alcohol we consume has gotten better.
We've become more snobby about our alcohol. Is that what you're saying?
And then part of it is due to the whole like craft cocktail movement or whatever.
Yeah.
Like how we became.
Yeah, that didn't exist then.
No.
So.
And, you know, and such great times we've had at Downtown Cocktail Room. And
we've probably put more focus on restaurants too.
Yeah.
Than we used to. We don't tend to eat at the same places. Like we used to, we'd do the Victorian Room for breakfast every day when we stayed at Barbary Coast. And now we usually mix it up. We want to try more. Part of it is we've accumulated more favorites over time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything? So he also asked.
Did I used to get as crabby when I would have a mediocre meal early on? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
And now it's like, God damn it, I missed an opportunity to have something really great.
Well, I think the quality of food has increased too. So it kind of like the things that we like and don't like kind of has gone along with some of the trends in the city. There's a lot more choices for really good play. I think. I don't know. Is that right or is that completely crackpot?
No, I think.
Or maybe we've just discovered more better places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything that you miss a lot? We've kind of adopted the don't get too attached as much as possible. And you talked about Barbary Coast and how we loved that place. And that was kind of, for me, what taught me not to get too attached. Mm-hmm. Once you have a little bit of the heartbreak, you realize, oh, this shit is not going to be here forever. And there's a good chance we're going to see it go away. But I don't know. I think anytime if there are things that have gone away that I miss, they've kind of been replaced by new things that I love. So
yeah,
kind of go along with the evolution of the strip and downtown.
Yeah, a lot of my feelings that I had about Barbary Coast are the way I feel about places downtown.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
One more call, then we'll wrap things up and get out of here.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is John H. from California.
Hello, John H.
Long-time listener, first-time drunk dialer.
Awesome.
I just wanted to wish you the absolute best in celebration of your 500th episode.
Thank you.
Of 500. I wish you everything in life. You are great friends. I do hope that you do one day get your private balcony at the Cosmopolitan with all of the chinchilla robes that you could hope for. I do wish that for you. And truly and honestly, I do want to thank you for all of the memories, the great laughs, the FaceTime that we have all gotten with each other over these years. Truly, you are a great part of my life. And I thank you for that.
Great times indeed.
So, I can't wait to see you again in Vegas.
Likewise.
I can't believe I'm finally making this call.
About time, fucker.
Again, congratulations.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you to our good friend,
I'm like
John
laughing
H.
and crying right now.
He's our buddy from Vegas Tripping. Happy to hear from you. About time you got off your ass and called us, you son of a bitch. All right. I enjoyed that. Yes. So that's it. That's show 500. Low key, as we expected. Mm-hmm. Got all caught up on stuff.
In hindsight, we should have gone out for breakfast and had some, I don't know. I have stuff to do this afternoon, so that maybe not, wouldn't have been a good idea anyway.
Okay. Anyway,
we'll celebrate somehow. We'll raise a glass to the show.
Yes,
we will.
In some
way, shape, or form.
Thank you to everyone for your emails and your phone calls and all that. And we appreciate all of the kind thoughts.
Yes.
And happy to, I'm kind of shocked that we've been here for 500 episodes.
Yeah.
If you're a relatively new listener and you're like, what the hell? They didn't do anything big for 500. Well, go back and listen to the 10th anniversary show from January. That was kind of our big shebang. Yeah. Our action packed greatest hit show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to that again because I had a lot of fun putting that together. I like that one.
You put a lot of work into that.
I know. It's the most work I'll ever put into anything related to the show, except for the book that I'm writing.
It's real.
It's written.
It's
holy crap, you guys. I printed out the book. Everything has been on screen up to this point. It's like a real physical thing. It's actually like it has heft. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. It's like a real thing.
Does it have girth?
Stunning. It is a very girthy book. Yeah, so that's coming along, and if it's like these things happen, I printed it out. I'm like, oh my god, this is real. This is an actual wow. Anyway, proofreading continues. It will be coming your way soon. I don't have a date yet, so don't ask. I'll reveal it when it's ready. Mm-hmm. But it's coming.
Progress is being made.
Yes, indeed. All right. As always, thank you to everybody who's been using our Amazon link before buying stuff at Amazon.com. It helps support the show. You don't have to spend any more money. It's just you use our link before buying stuff, and we get a little bit of a kickback. We appreciate that. We will be back next week, presumably, with new podcast dog. It'll be mm-hmm. our fourth podcast dog
yes.
in the history of the show.
Yes.
And that'll be fun. He will have new things to learn, and we will have mm-hmm. new things to learn from him. I'm excited to have a new little creature running around the house. It'll
I
be
am
fun.
Too. It'll be good for all of us.
Yes. 500bymidnight.com is the website, as always. 500@gmail.com is the place to send your Dear Tim and Michelle questions. And, of course, our Twitter names are 500 and Anita Martini, if you're looking for us over there. Our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night. We'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. Thanks for all you've done for us over the last 500 shows. We look forward to bringing you at least two more. No, we'll be here for a while. I don't want to commit to 500 more, though, because that would be insane. I never thought we'd get to 500. That's why at one point I made a big revelation that when we got to 500, we'd have a big live event in Vegas and all that. And then we got close to 500. I'm like, fuck that noise. We do VIMP, though, so that's our thing. For live.
Yeah.
I'm still talking.
If you want to celebrate the podcast in person, come
and see us in October. We're easy to find. It'll be a good time. All right. That's it. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.